Good
Magandang
morning.
umaga. Good morning.
Yes, you mentioned that you were into designing sets for theater. And I've also noticed when I read your plays, it's very detailed. Sepangloka for one, reads like a work of fiction dun sa umpisang bahagi ko. And ganun din yung Walking Canes and Fans. So how did that ability help you as a playwright? Designing sets, I mean.
Malaki na itulong ano kasi parang sa umpisa pa lang alam mo na ang lugar na ginagalawan ng mga tauhan. You know where your characters are moving and how far they can go. Ako siguro yung Sepangloka kaya naging ganun kasi kauna-unahan dula ko yun. Eh, ang inaaral ko sa Wisconsin eh set design. So when you talk of set design, you talk of lights, you talk not only of the set itself, but lights and so on. And so I was directing the play. As a matter of fact, I was told later na when a director comes across a play, what he does is to eliminate the
Directions.
instruction, the stage direction. But I felt as though, okay, ilagay ko lahat ang not only my play, but whatever it is that surrounds it, including lights. Kaya naging masyadong detalyado. It was very much detailed. When I look at it, I am sometimes embarrassed by what I had placed in the play. But I was learning, you know. It was a first time for me to write a play, and I thought na dapat lahat yun kasama.
For me, it was helpful and not at all an embarrassment kasi parang you were also helping the director to envision the work. So my next question is, as a Fulbright scholar at the University of Wisconsin, what initial observations did you have about American theater? And malaki po ba ang cultural divide ng teatro dito sa Pilipinas?
I was like a provinciana, you know, being introduced into a brand new world na talagang for the first time you come and see mga theater buildings, talagang for theater. You go front of the theater and you see all the beautiful advertisements promising excitement and so on. Tapos, pagpasok mong ganon, plush sheets yon ng teatro. Tapos, pag akyat mo naman sa stage, maraming mga ropes, maraming mga wires, pulleys, lights, wires, and sound and everything. It's really theater, ano? Talagang, kumbaga, all of these promises to fulfill what they say in the front of the theater. Sa University of Wisconsin, when I first arrived, they invited me to a horseshoe. Parang horseshoe ang teatro. 90 seats lang ang seating capacity. But the stage itself is round, tapos metro sa likod. Kaya pwedeng magtago ang aktor at saka lumabas.
Quite
That was
intimate.
the theater I worked in, you know. Actually, nung pinipintasan nung professor na yung do Sepangloka, one act lang, bakit ganun kadami-dami? Kasi I got used to the theater they provided. They provided the theater that was a horseshoe, ganun. Pwede mo ilagay one act, two act, act two, act three, or act three sa gitna. So, sabi ko, but ganun? You're providing it with a theater to experiment on, and yet, when we do experiment, we are being criticized for being,
Experimental.
frivolous or so on, for a one act theater. Kaya nung when they were going to do Sepang Loka, I said, may I design the sets for my play? Sabi nila, string budget. What I did was to use strings. Literally, strings ang ginamit ko para doon sa set design. Maganda lumabas, talagang oriental na parang paint. Dahil kasi strings, pagka tinamaan ng ilaw, may shadow. Maganda lumabas. As a matter of fact, nung pinalabas yung Sepang Loka, one of the praises nung reviewer was the set. Maganda daw ang pagkakaroon.
Is Sepang Loka revisit to the character of Sisa from Rizal's Noli Mitangere? Or may kinalaman siya sa archetype na yun? Wala.
Meron kasi kami talagang Sepang Loka, although her name is not Sepa, in the hometown. And she used to roam around. Ang alam ko lamang, she gets pregnant every so often by the town, some town, so take advantage of her. And so I said, I would like to be, I wrote the story, siguro mga several pages na, but sabi ko, it doesn't seem to work. When the competition was announced, I said, let me try that story, that might work. As a matter of fact, Alfredo Navarro Salanga, when he read the play, said, this play should be printed with the column I wrote as a literary editor of the Philippine Collegian. I wrote, usually ganyan ang size, one page. I wrote about Sepang Loka, and there I expressed my very strong feelings for her. And so Alfredo said, that should be, if ever Sepang Loka as a play is published, that should be the preface. That should be in the beginning of the play. But in my book, Sepang Loka, I used that essay in the part for tributes, mga tributes. I did not use it as a preface for Sepang Loka, the play.
Hence, it is not located in the actual.
This is in the book, Sepang Loka. Yes.
May I ask, from where do you gather your material? So you mentioned you once knew a girl named Sepa, tapos siya po yung nag-inspire nung work na Sepang Loka. Yung iba ho, saan nang galing yung inspiration for?
Iba-iba kasi, for instance, no, yung Ang Bundok, ano, which is a tinatawag nga nilang epic play. When the competition was announced, ang feeling ko lamang, hindi ko malaman kung merong kaso na meron talagang talagang meron nga. Kasi yung estudyante ko, si one of my students was absent for a week. Sabi ko, Wilfred, sabi ko, hindi pwede. Hindi pwede yung nag-absent ka na 1 week kasi skill course English. Sabi niya, I'm sorry, ma'am, kasi we have to form a human chain. Ano ka kung human chain? That was when he told me about what happened to them sa bundok. But ang mas malaki noon, which I didn't know at that time, talagang naghubad sila, hubot-hubad, babae at lalaki, talagang hinarang nila yung umaakit ng mga truck, mga
para
i-demolish yung kanila mga bahay sa bundok. Kaya nga nung lumabas yung play na yun, when that play was performed at the Guerrero Theater, which is what is the premier performance noon, sabi ni Ben yun ang gusto niya mag-open ng theater. May mga dumating na tiga bundok.
Manonood.
Nag-iiyakan sila kasi na they recalled what happened during that time.
Kasi even the structure of that play is ano, epic din eh. May invocation, tapos yung classic na pairs na anong pangalan po nung lalaki? Mungadal yata and Gayan, the woman who refused to be married to him. Tapos, and there's this other character, si Bugan, na inako na lang po yung marriage na hindi natuloy. So,
totoong nangyari yun.
Totoo ba nangyari?
Alam mo yun, that's the story of my grandmother. She was, parang she offered herself in the place of her sister, kasi the sister eloped. And parang kahihiyan ng pamilya, siya nagtakip. Kaya naging kwento niya yun, eh bata pa siya, sabi niya gano'n.
How old was she then?
She must be mga 15 or so. Kaya yun ang naging umpisa nung dula na isa ding love story na.
Yung walking canes and fans, where did that come from?
Yun namang walking canes and fans, I was newly married eh. Minsan nga nakakatawa kasi ang pinanggagalingan ng dula mo eh buhay sa paligid mo. Yun mismo akong kinasal, bagong kasal ako. Parang ang feeling ko is I have to write about it. And it became a family in the midst of the revolution. In the background was Andres Bonifacio, but he never appeared in the play.
That's what I like.
Oo, malakas ang ano na. As a matter of fact, after that play, may mga sumulat tungkol na kay Bonifacio na hindi ko na isulat doon sa dula. Ang kagandahan eh, dahil kasi bagong pamilya, bagong kasal, agad-agad na pa suong sa revolusyon.
What's the shift from the language? Kasi you started out writing plays in English. And then there's a period na nagsulat po kayo sa Filipino and then you wrote plays for children. Yung mga conscious choices ba yan ng language at saka ng audience?
Minsan nga, inaano mo, it's all by accident, ano? Nung umuwi ako ng 1972, Christmas, nagkaroon ng, the following year, nagkaroon ng international theater festival. And venue I had a play, yun ang The Short Life of Citizen One. Ang akin noon, sinasabi nila, wala ako ng panahon na ang daming nangyayari sa Pilipinas from 1960 to 70. 1963, umalis ako. End of 70 na ako bumalik. Pero, ang pamilya namin ni Manuel, nagpapadala sa amin ng diaryo, mga magazines. Alam ko lahat ng mga nangyayari. Kaya nga, sa tanong na hindi ba nakatulong kasi wala ka eh. Ano? Wala, hindi mo nakikita ang nangyayari. But I was reading about it. And I was being very moved by, kahit wala ka dun sa lugar eh, yung nababasa mo lang na unawaan mo na yung mga nangyayari. I was very moved by what was happening. And ang aking kanon eh, susulat naman ako ng tungkol sa isang tao na sumasanib pero sa umpisa pa lamang, gusto niya through the legal way, ma-elect siya na maging official ng town. Pero, kumbaga, sa umpisa pa lang, dinadaya na siya. Kasi, kaya siyang dayain dahil mahirap siya. He cannot afford to fight back. And, nung 68 ko inumpisan sulatin, pero 1970, I got a grant to attend the Eugene O'Neill Playwriting Center. Doon ka pupunta para kung meron kang dulang ginagawa, pwede mong tapusin.
Parang laboratory?
Oo, laboratory. Pero meron isang theater company, yung nanalo ng Nobel, si Wally Soyenka, is a playwright. Oo. He was telling us all about his experience. Sabi ko pa nga, siguro ang bango-bango ng libro mo kasi bawal ang writing instrument eh. What he did was matulis na patpat na ano, yung pinag-anohan niya ng kape, yung pinaka-brown na pa, yun ang ginagawa niyang ink. Kaya sabi ko, ang bango siguro ng libro. amoy kape. Sabi niya, yun ang sinulat niyang dula, yung pinapalabas niya doon sa ano. Pero kami naman, habang piniprepara niya, kami naman nagdi-discussion, nag-ano. Basta kung anong gusto mong gawin, gawin mo. Ako, nakikipag-unahan ako doon sa third floor dahil merong typewriting. Wala pang computer na. Nung magbalik ako sa Pilipinas, halos tapos na yung dula. But of course, it was written in English. I've been writing plays, siguro mga pampito ano, na English. Eh, para ba nung pinapanood ko yung palabas, na-embarrass ako. Eh, pati mga cursing, mga ano, lahat puro English. Eh, ba't baka ako
pinagsasalita
ng English ng aking tauhan, mga Filipino. Parang, na, doon pa lamang naisip ko na. Although, at that time, naiintindihan ng international audience ang nandun dahil ano nga, international theater. Sabi ko, mula sa ngayon, susulat na ako ng dula in Filipino. I'm from Bulacan. I grew up in a family that spoke Filipino. Hindi naman kami nag-i-English. So, kaya lang ako napasok sa English department. I was really planning on journalism. I wanted to write for the newspapers. Nung naisulat ko yung dula, yung susunod na dula, Ang Bundok in Filipino na. Mula nung Ang Bundok in Filipino na.
Parang ano rin ho, no, fortuitous yung years na yun. Kasi 71 yata yun eh, yung Ang Bundok. Tapos parang timing din ho siya dun sa, well, yung mga indigenous lands din, di ba, sa Cordillera, nagkakaproblema na rin sa mining. In short, what I'm trying to say, ma'am, is kahit wala ho pala kayo sa Pilipinas nung panahon na sinusulat niya yan, very much in touch kayo dun sa...
Sabi ko nga sa kanila, I was not in the Philippines at that time, but Citizen One got the attention no other play in the Philippines can claim to have gotten, because when it was published and renewed by 3 critics ng Philippine Studies, a total of 8 pages, kasama nun si Paul Dumolos, one of the 3, si Gabaldon and so on. Ang pagpapalabas, the reception sa palabas, tapos yung publishing kasabay ng launching ng palabas, tapos yung mismong review. They were reviewing the book, not the production. But no other play, I can claim, has received that much attention
as
Citizen One. Oh. Of course, the others have also from Sepangloca on. Somehow, I think, when I came home and had all of these plays ready for performances, parang there was some excitement about, oh, now we have a playwright who's writing about things that are happening in the Philippines. Parang ganon. Whereas before, they were taking plays from abroad and translating or adapting it into Filipino. It was something new, I suppose. And the fact that the first 2 plays I wrote won prizes in the, it competed in a university or statewide where language is English, and here I was a foreign student. Although that those 2 plays should have won first prize, you know. Sepangloca won 3rd because one judge the two judges rated it 1. One judge rated it 0. The rank of the play came down.
Did he ever explain why it was such?
Later, we found out, nagagalit kasi sa kanya yung mga kaibigan kong estudyante, sa professor. He thought pala that there was an American student who came to the Philippines and was pretending to be a Filipino, and he wrote it. But actually, his reason to begin with was that I was too ambitious. It was a one-act play. I should stay within the rules of the one act. But in the second play I wrote, which is about American students, he was surprised that I wrote it. But he was the one who rated it 1. And 3 judges rated it. Out of 5 rated it 1. And one of the secretaries called me up to say, is it all right with you if you're number 2? I said, if it's number 2, why do you even have to ask me, no? Parang, if it is the place it deserves, go ahead, let it. And then when the judging sheets were given to me, out of 5, 3 ang number. Ang galit ko. How unfair. Parang as though they cannot admit that a foreigner is... And very close though. How can it be very close? Tatlo yung first ko. He cannot get... He is left only with 2 judges. And, but he won the first. And when it was reviewed, the reviewer said, definitely this playroom should be number 1. And it got the applause. And by the way, it got published as an acting edition. So sabi ko, okay lang. Pero I did not leave that country until I talked to my 2 professors. I told them, fair play, di ba? American fair play. Sabi kong ganun, I have to tell you what happened. So I told them ganun. The following year, they removed na the 1, 2, 3. Oo. They had just 3 winners and let the audience decide which is the first, second.
So it became a matter of the audience rating the play and not just the judges.
No. Well, the system or the professor would rate the first 3. What are the first 3 plays? And then the audience would rate which is first, second, and third.
Aside from being a playwright, you were also a critic and you wrote this seminal work, The Seditious Playwrights, na madalas hong gamitin na reference ito, quoted by many theater experts here in the country. So how did you stumble upon this work? And can you tell us a little bit about the research that you did and such?
Before I got married, I had that research grant from ORC, from the university. I was into it because Bulacan is my father's province. My father is Gregorio, and he used to take us there pag summer. We used to do a lot of very foolish things, but those are the things that you do in the summer. I had a cousin who is medyo ganon. So he used to teach us dances, no, ganon. Pero noon, nalalaman ko merong, yung uncle ko merong sarsuela company. Tsaka meron siyang banda. He used to practice, gano'n narinig ko. So when I did the research, siyang nilapitan ko. And he took me to all the playwrights, the directors, the actors. Isang araw, he wanted me to go home. All right, it's late now. I'll go home na. Kababae mong tao na dito. Gabi na. Sabi ko, hindi, uncle, pwede ba pumunta tayo dun sa last? Dito sa last name na nasa aking listahan. Eh di, mapilit ako. So he took me. That day pala was the birthday of the playwright. And the wife was thinking of donating the manuscripts. So when I came, medyo gabi na, when I came, she looked at it as a signal na parang akong pinadala ng husband, ng kanyang asawa. And sa akin binigay lahat, isang baul. Binigay niya sa akin yung place which I gave to the Asia Center kasi si Dr. Ben Santos Cuyugan was the dean, but he also helped me in to find the funding for my research. So I donated all the place to the Asian Center. Anyway, that research went on until I was already in the United States. I got a grant from American Philosophical Society. They gave me a grant to do the research. But when I came home, nagkataon, Zarzuela Foundation wanted to publish a book on Philippine theater. I said, I have a manuscript, but it's not complete. If you will give me the funding to go to Washington, D.C., sa Library of Congress, wala kasi tayo, nasira ang ating records dito. And then the archives, I will be able to complete my notes. They gave me the funding. And when I came home, almost all they waited for was to write, for me to write, and then they published the book. And I'm glad because the Encyclopedia of Arts had named it the first book on Philippine theaters. And I was told that later it was one of the most popular books in the library.
How important is a sense of history for a playwright?
Alam mo, I remember I was into several Asian countries. Nagtataka ako when I look at their monuments and it's dedicated to an abstract idea. For instance, patriotism, yung gano'n, may monument. Samantalang sa Pilipinas, may mga babae nangangabayo. Yeah, three-dimensional. Ano. Ang kwenta ng ating mga heroes, talagang lumaban sa revolusyon, sa mga revolts, in different revolts in the country. Bakit kahanap pa ng kwento kung saan? Samantalang nandito sila. Ang kanilang mga buhay, talagang mga kwento ng pakikibaka, di ba? Sa ano. And kung isusulat mo ang tungkol sa kanila, maipapaalam mo pa sa mga bata ang tungkol sa mga nangyari sa ating bansa. Kaya ang feeling ko noon, eto na. Ito ang isusulat natin, mga dula. I'm glad that after the publication of the book, kasi nando nga yung dula ni Tolentino, sunod-sunod na yung mga palabas, mga sumusulat, mga ng tungkol sa ating history. Very important.
May wave ho kasi noon ng to look into the Filipino roots, yung identity. Na, mga 70s ho kasi yan, di ba? Yung hinahanap yung search for the Filipino.
Oh, nakabalik na ako noon.
You mentioned that between 1960 to 1970, you were living as an expat. So these years, that decade was considered as a dense period of social upheavals. Did you feel like you, parang ang dami niyo hong na-miss dun sa period na yun kasi nga wala kayo? Napag-usapan na rin lang ho natin na kahit nasa labas po kayo ng bayan, nakakasabay ho kayo dun sa mga events, ganun. Pero I'd like to know kung you felt as if you were exiled from our country or not nung period.
Oh, talaga yun, totoo. Parang you feel as though you should be there. Not to join kasi it needs a certain strength, not only of conviction but of person, physical, which I'm not ready to join, although in the United States, I was joining marches. Ano rin kami. Pero noon, the only way you can know what is happening is by reading. Oo, sabi ko nga sa yun, it's a good thing na our two families were sending us mga newspapers and magazines, especially if there is anything happening outstanding that I should know. So, wala ako doon, pero you're still a part of all of that. You cannot physically join it, but ano, sabihin natin, parang spiritually nandun ko na rin, ano, di ba? And nung sinulat ko nga yung Citizen One, which I told you, no play has gotten that much attention. It was all based on what I was reading as a person.
So there's
kasi my husband was, sorry, my husband was very busy with his PhD studies. We were in the University of Pennsylvania. And one reason he chose that school was because it's near New York. And he wanted me to go to theater, be able to go to theater, because there is a business bus na nag-travel. They collect mga women who would like to see theater.
Meron hong ganon.
Parang ganon, oo. Once a week, I used to go to New York to watch theater. But also, this is all it's all a part of training, di ba? You watch a show because you want to know how ako, because of the very technical training I got, I was not only into the play itself on stage, but
you knew how
what was happening around. And for instance, one professor said, you cannot write a title of the play, a very long title, mga one or two words lang. And I was there, Jackie Brel is alive and well and living in New York. It's one whole sentence which is against the rules. Also, I was taught na lights should never be facing audiences, di ba? Kasi it's focus on stage. But then I was watching plays that had lights. Sabi kasi, you don't want to blind your audience.
Oo.
Pero noon, and lalo na ngayon, with all the dance and, well, of course, I just watch it on television, but you can see that the lights that they said should not be is being done now. So, mga rules lang naman yun na you learn. But you observe later, is it happening? Is it really true that that's how it should be? No. They're now contradicting that rule. It cannot be helped that you should experiment because, like for instance, in this particular theater that we are in, I can do what I want. There is no one to say, hey, you cannot do that, you know. My main concern is that I'm running or I'm telling stories, because I'm still the storyteller now, for children who come here to watch a play. I can very directly tell them things, you know, so that, for instance, when I started Lancy and Sky in 1990, first in Japan, what I wanted was for the children to know how important environment is. I usually tell them you don't live in a house. Your house is located on land that is near the sea and there's the sky. So actually, you are a global child. Nakatira ka sa mundo. Kasi kung wala yung paligid mo, hindi ka pwedeng mabuhay. Kaya yung sabi ko, mga bata, pag gabi, titingin kayo sa langit, titingnan niyo yung mga butuin, ganyan. sa lupa naman, yung mga halaman, ang dagat, kailangan aalagaan yung maging malinis. Kasi ito, mga isdang magaganda, mamamatay, hindi nyo aalagaan. Si Al Gore, kailan lang naman siya nagsalita.
Yung global warming niya.
Pero we're working on land, sea, and sky since 1990.
So, a large part of your work also involves Asianization of Philippine theater. So, bakit po kayo nagkaroon ng initiative na ipakilala ang mga Asian influences in staging and siguro Asian. Sa yung Asian po? Kasi nabasa ko pa ulit-ulit kung pumapasok yung detail na yun eh, na nagkaroon ho kayo ng ASPAC Fellowship, tapos na-acquaint kayo dun sa theater sa Japan, and you fell in love with Bunraku Puppetry, tapos soon after, ano nga ho kayo, nagpakilala ng Asian influences into your work. So, at that time po ba, hindi masyadong kilala ang mga Asian influence sa theater?
Kundi may dumadating through the embassies eh. Pero ngayon mas madalas, noon halos wala. Wala tayong alam sa Bunraku, sa Kyogen, sa Kabuki, yung ganong klase. Para ba, napakaganda nung ASPAC kasi hindi lamang nila ako binigyan ng scholarship. They gave me an interpreter. Every day I had a Japanese girl who came with me. Although sometimes she does not know what the play is all about. And I have to explain to her kasi I have my book on the Kabuki and the other forms. Pero I fell in love with the Bunraku. That was the very elegant theater. I fell in love with it. Hopelessly talaga. If I could bring the theater with me, I will. But what happened was that they gave me a chance to sit with the director on the third floor where I can watch what was happening below. And I was watching children being bused by the bus dumadating.
Busloads
of children. They first explain what the play is all about before they show. Kasi medyo complicated din naman yung mga Bunraku plays. And then they explain the puppets and so on. Ang akin eh, natututuhan ng mga bata ang mga pangyayari na nakaraan sa Japan through the puppets. Napakalakas ng influensya. It's a very, very strong influence on children. In my own experience, I have mothers who come to tell me that my child saw your play a week ago or a month ago and still talks about it, still remembers the play. Samantalang something she saw on television yesterday, she had already forgotten. Sabi ko, kasi ho, malaki impact ng live. Yung talagang taong nakikita nilang gumagalaw. So, yan ho kakong efekto sa mga bata.
And children are the actual puppeteers, hindi ho ba, sa production ninyo? The young.
I had, to begin with, half of the company of repertory ni Ben. Kasi nakakulong siya eh. So sabi niya doon sa kanyang mga tauhan, you go to Tita Amel and see what you can do to help. And then I was planning on putting on Abadeha for the first time a puppet show. What I did was to audition students from UP. But through my existence as a theater, there were four student 10-year-old from UPIS who joined the company, and up to now ano pa rin sila. If I need their help, they come. what is advantageous about them is that they're writers and they're critics. But these are 10-year-old na who just submitted themselves to learning puppetry. And as you know, puppetry takes a long time. Eh? In Japan, you have to have 14 years to be able to start with the foot, 14 years with the hands, and another 14 years with the head. Oh. So you must be, by the time you're, kung nag-umpisa ka ng 7, mga 30, 40, you're already
a master puppeteer.
A master puppeteer. Mm.
So in-implement din nyo kahit yung period of training na yun?
Oo, parang naging ganon kasi if they're really going to stay with you know, because some of them would come and would go, they're not interested pala. Sabi nila, most of the shy ones are the ones who love this kasi they cover their faces. Ang pinoproject nila talaga yung puppet, hindi sila as a person. That's the difference between the actor who has his body, his face exposed. This is a puppeteer who hides, who's behind a covering for his face. Black. Actually, he's zero. Wala siya dun talaga. It's actually the puppets that are moving.
So siguro that's the Asian part then.
Sa bagay, we cannot claim that it's only Asian. It's a global thing right now. But whether it originated from India or China, those are the two countries that are competing for that. Where did it really originate? But India has, of course, the Ramayana.
Ramayana.
Oh, popular throughout Asia.
You adapted that material, didn't you, here in the Philippines?
I felt as though our children should know that there is that play, that epic play, an epic love story and love of country, because Rama also represents love of country, love of family, everything that is desirable in a person is Rama. Kaya, and by the way, because actually there is a God, Vishnu is inside him. To translate it into Philippine or the Christian tradition, very close to Christ. And but what I did was Sita and Rama ang ating puppet Ramayana, a series of songs, mga 17 siguro yung sinulat ko. And I thought of my friend Tita Lacambra and her children here, si Joey at si Cynthia. And when I told them about it, agad-agad naman ang gano'n sila. Ako kasi ang kinakailangan ko dito, instrumento ng Mindanao eh. The instrument, musical instruments of Mindanao, aside from your singing voices. So actually, they composed the music, they sang it while accompanying themselves with a musical instrument from Mindanao. Now, that is something new, diba? Kasi we in Luzon, we have isolated ourselves in the Christian, ano. Umpisa ng theater ng Espanya and then theater of the U.S., you know. But all of this sound, that is what made me love it in Bali when I was there. I went there and then I went back with my daughter, Amihan. The whole island was alive with music. You can hear music everywhere. Those are the farmers and the fishermen in the morning, but in the evening they're dancers, they're musical musicians, you know. And I used to jump in and join the performances because you can pretend to be like a monkey or ano, in a kechak movement.
Pero deeply embedded ho yun sa culture rin nila, hindi ba?
Oo. May bata nga, nakatataka ako, mga bata doon, 150 characters, memoryado nila eh. It also develops the memory. The mind. No? 150 characters, good and evil. Kasi for the wayang kulit, for instance, the shadow play, there is only one dalang that moves. But they have 75 good, 75 bad. And he takes
dami the... Dami ng character noon.
Oh. And he controls the music. So the musician behind him are controlled by this dalang. Yung kanyang pa, ginagalaw niya pang ano nang. You talk of theater in the West. This is theater that is just amazing. Amazing ang range, amazing ang demands on the audience.
Mas participatory.
But the children watch the sa bagay kami nung maliliit na nanonood kami ng mga sinakulo, no? Parang ganun din nung maliliit na bata. Kasi I lived in Binondo near Magdalena Street. And Magdalena used to be talagang vacant lot yun. That's where Balaktasan at doon ko napanood sila
Kulientes. Yun yung mga unang place na napanood nyo?
Oo. Taon-taon they come to, a theater company would come in for mga 9 nights. You bring your bangko so you can watch the play.
Naabutan po niyo yung mga Carillo, Senaculo?
Yung Carillo, wala na eh. But my mother said may Carillo daw doon sa Magdalena. And she used to watch it as a child. Isang kusing, half centavo ang entry. Meron lamang malaking kumot, tapos ang puppets made of cardboard. Hindi kasing... Kasi when you speak in Asia, you're speaking of leather puppet. Ang leather niyan from a goat. China is goat, manipis. Kaya ang Chinese puppet, maganda ang ano eh. Tapos, to the cow, makapal. But when you get to the Midwest, elephant. Ang kakapal lang ano.
Oh, mga
elephant. Elephant. Balat ng elepante ang ginagamit niya. And I have been to Laos, where they make one whole cow. The skin of one whole cow is one whole army. Kaya gumagalaw yun eh. Ibig sabihin, nag-gigiera ang mga army.
Ay, at least consistent po yung texture ng leather doon kung one whole cow yun, di ba? Isang ano lang yung pinanggalingan. I'll veer away from the set of questions that I have kasi may naisip po ako since you're talking about yung global subject kanina. I read yung The White Holocaust eh. Siguro napaka-experimental ho nung dula na yon. Hindi ko masyadong naintindihan pero parang may gusto kayong gawin dun sa interplay nung mga figures, images galing sa Holocaust, galing sa Hiroshima bombing siguro yon. Tapos may mga sinasabi ho yung mga characters na parang walang kaugnayan sa isa't isa. So, postmodern ho ba yan sa panahon na yon o ano ho yun?
Siguro nga, although I wrote it way back in 1969.
Kasi early ho yung...
That's the last of the English plays.
Hmm.
Kasi si yung mister ko nga nag-PPHD siya. So sometimes talagang mahusay na kasama mo, asawa mo. At least somebody to talk to, di ba? Kaya maraming nasisira ulo. Mga nagpupunta doon, di nakakatapos. You let him talk about what he's doing. And sometimes he discusses yun, the maskara. Sabi niya, tayo daw iba-ibang maskara ang suot natin. Ibang maskara kung nakaharap tayo sa pamilya, ibang maskara sa harap ng mga tauhan natin, sa harap ng asawa natin, ganun.
So, ganun lang ko yung concept?
Oo, yun ang naging umpisa. Kung alisin yung mga maskara, tapos wala palang muka. So, I thought that was a very stunning idea na walang muka. Although that play has never been produced.
Pwedeng-pwede na ho siyang i-produce sa panahon ngayon.
Sa panahon ngayon, pwedeng-pwede. Noon parang medyo strange, ano? Pero si Pete Darroy, the critic, who used to write about my theater, that is his favorite play. Oh, yun ang favorite niya. Kasi parang napaka-intellectual. Napaka-intellectual.
At saka ano siya eh, maraming gustong tamaan din. Halimbawa yung sa media, yung sa kultura, advertisement, di ba? Ganun. So, medyo nag-veer away ako kanina. Ililihis ko uli patungo dun sa writing plays for children. So, you obviously enjoy writing for them. Bakit po? Ano ko yung iba dun sa karanasan ng pagsulat para sa mga batang manunood at karanasan para sa pagsulat ng dula ng higit na nakatatanda? Ano ho yung ano doon? Tsaka ang hirap po sigurong sumulat ng gano'n, ano? Kasi nung binabasa ko ho yung may volume kayo ng mga dulang pambata eh. So, kung ikukumpara mo yung language at saka yung material, parang mas folk ho yung material nung sa mga bata. Tapos shorter ho yung mga sentences, yung dialogue. So, ano ho yung masasabi niyo doon?
Alam mo, meron akong bata, may isang bata doon. Nakaupo na siya, tapos na lahat, naiwan na siya. Tapos, nang lumapit ako sa kanya, sabi niya, totoo ba yun? Kala niya maliliit na tao. Maliliit na tao. Meron naman isang bata, tuwing may mamatay, umiiyak, malakas umiiyak eh. Sabi ko, wag kang umiiyak. Sabi ko, ganun. Mamaya, pakikita ko sa iyo yung ano. Eh, halika, maupo ka. Eh, pagpasok niya, may papatay. iyak na naman yung batang yun. Eh, nung pinakita ko sa likod, nung nagpunta kami sa backstage, pinakita ko sa kanya yung mga puppets na pinatay na buhay. Ako, yun nga, ang maganda sa teatro, pag saludo nila, buhay na naman yung mga patay. Anyway, pagsulat sa bata, ako, to me, it was a very exciting period. Oh, talaga. When I came home and I said, all right, I'm going to produce plays for children. Walang plays. Wala, Lisa. There was a theater company, yung parang ano na nga ba yung kanila, gumagawa ng puppets yung mother niya, siya ang ano, andito pa yun ngayon, nasa US eh, lumipat na siya sa US. Pero wala siyang place, actually, ang ginagawa niya, song and dance. Hindi naman pwedeng puro song and dance na lang ang mga bata habang buhay. Ang ginawa ko, because I'm a researcher, I research into stories for children. I went into books. Sometimes you will find one book for one country, Indonesia, England. Pipili ka ngayon ng... Actually, what I wanted was just one play for one country. Just so that the children that would know that there is a country like India, China. So for India, the sixth secret weapon, Japan, the counting of the crocodiles, China, the king of the jungle, Malaysia, you cannot please everyone, Thailand, the clever monkey, yung ganun ba? Pero before I went to Asia, I concentrated first on stories from the Philippines. And one of the very successful ones is the trial among animals, oh, paghuhukom. Oh, it we premiered that in Russia, and it got a standing ovation. They really loved the play. Pinapakita naman, and that's Unima, that was the international audience. when I introduced Maurice Carbajal, who did the, he really got a standing, they really clapped for him. And when I started writing, when I chose, first of all, stories where the victorious character is the small one in comparison with the big.
The empowerment.
In other words, sabi ko, ang audience ko, mga batang maliliit eh. Gusto kong ipaalam sa kanila na pwede silang magtagumpay kung gagamitin nila ang kanilang utak. Hindi lamang lakas ng katawan, kundi...
I sort of got the impression na yung children po, yung unique quality kasi nila as audience, they are very honest.
Very honest.
If they don't like the work, talagang makikita mo. So siguro, yun, is that one of the come-ons for having kids as audience?
They will turn their backs. And they're the most active audience. I remember the first time we did kung paano pinatay ng Ibaloy ang higante, how the Ibaloy killed the giant that Ben directed. Napapalis ang audience pag kumapasok yung higante. Well, one who's playing higante. One time, it was even Ben who played the higante. And what happens is that nawawala ang audience sa seats and they're all running to the sides. You don't get that for a grown-up audience. You get it from children. They were truly frightened. They were really in the... They were not empathized. They were into the play. Whatever was happening to them was real, you know. So they were hiding, they were running away, because they were frightened by the... So when I wrote the plays, I wrote plays that are really for them. In other words, mostly animals and characters. And because animal or dolls, like in Abadeha, are very close to childhood, they regard them as dolls or as pets or as toys, mas maganda ang reaction nila because they're reacting to something they love, you know, they're familiar with. And then the stories, especially the very strong storyline and very clear ang focus toward the ending, naiintindihan ng mga bata what the play is. In other words, as differentiated from plays for grown-ups, plays for children are really intended to really tell a story. That is the... And of course, I got mine from stories.
So that seems to be a basic requirement then, ano? Yung storytelling function din po ng ano? Ng...
Siguro the first rule would be simplicity, no? You are talking or you are... to an audience, you're playing to an audience of very young people, limited ang experience and limited ang language and so on. You have to be like them. In other words, I have a member of my company who said, "Mom, I don't like naman. I will be babysitting." Aika ko, you're in the wrong field if you regard it that way. Because what can you do? We're really working for children. You have to be like a child yourself and write what is understandable to them, what they would appreciate. Children also, I found out, love to laugh. Ano sila? Mabilis sila.
Tumawa
Tumawa. In other words, pagka may palabas ka, yung pag nakita nilang nakakatawa, talagang hagal pa ka ng tawa niya mga bata.
At ang sarap po sigurong pakinggan noon, ano, na napatawan niyo sila.
Oo, kung napatawan mo sila. Kasi, sabihin mo, it's easy, no? No, it's difficult. It's difficult to write.
So, ang lawak na ho nung napuntahan ng playwriting ninyo eh. So, you began with some themes na katulad ho ng rooms na adult yung kanyang pinag-uusapan. Tapos may historical plays din ho kayo. Nag-experiment din ho kayo sa language at saka sa concepts dun sa White Holocaust. Tapos meron kayong indigenous period dun sa Ang Bundok. Tapos meron din kayong mga triptych na mga plays na tungkol sa pag-ibig at different levels.
So, but by the way, I wrote also about Tolentino, Aurelio Tolentino.
So, are there any other milestones that you'd like to see in Philippine theater?
Siyempre, ang sasabihin ko yung tungkol sa akin. Ako siguro napagdaanan ko na halos na. Hindi na ako makaisip ng hindi ko pa nagawa except the writing of a novel, which I'm trying to do now. Sabi ko, kailangan bago lahat. Makasulat naman ako ng kahit isa lamang novela. Meron ba tayong tropa na would like to undergo or project yung parang history ng theater, lahat ng mga nangyari? Kasi kung merong nag-umpisa tayo talaga sa siguro teatrong malapit sa Asia nung before Spain. Nung dumating ang Espanya dahil nagtuturo sila tungkol sa relihiyon, ginamit nila ang teatro as a means of getting to the people. As a matter of fact, yung puppet passion ko, ang unang iniisip ko noon yung Siete Palabras eh. Kasi pagdating sa bandang huli, yung mamamatay si Christ, yung wooden Christ na talaga yung ulo bumabaksak. And sabi ko, pwedeng puppetry yun. And later on, I found out that in Obermargau in Germany, they actually have every 10 years, naglalabas sila ng puppet machine. Pero sabi sa akin ng isang Aleman na director, oh, why do you want to see Obermargau when you have a beautiful puppet like this Virgin Mary? Gustong-gusto niya. Samantalang nauna lumabas yun, nagtawa na ng mga tao eh. Kasi siyempre, gawin niya yung matangos ang ilong, maputi. All of a sudden, yun is pango at saan.
My youngest sister remembers it very well eh, yung passion po yan. Tapos hanggang ngayon, ibig sabihin no, yung memorability ho nung mga dula para sa mga bata. Nadadala nila yan hanggang lumaki na sila.
Bakit nga ba, minsan sa bangko may lalapit sa akin, Ma'am, I saw your play 30 years or 25 years ago. Kailan ho ninyo papalabas ulit?
So in that way,
sabihin nyo lamang gusto kong mapanood ulit. Parang ganun.
So ang huling katanungan ko ho, I heard from a talk of yours na may sinabi po kayo na may teatro ang mga matatanda pero wala pong teatro para sa mga bata. Tapos, is this an issue that pertains to space or lack of material or insight? Can you elaborate about this?
Even in Asia, only now are they considering that factor, theater for children. Because theater, the way we know it in the Philippines, is really a mixed. You, the young ones go with the elders and try to extract from what they see, what they can understand. Sinakulo, for instance, is a very important play that they see once a year. Papanood nila. Kami noon, because of my parents, my father used to love Sinakulo and Balaktasan. My mother used to love mga Bodovilin film. Kaya, kumbaga, may kasama kami sa sinasara niya yung tindahan namin. He used to close the store and then we used to go to And we were living in an area in Binondo that is close to the opera house, the movie house.
Hub din mo kasi yan eh, di ba, yung Binondo?
Doon kami na lumaki. As a matter of fact, may mga actor doon nakatira. Nagre-rent, they rent in the same Benavides Street. If ever what we were striving for is a physical presence of a theater for children, of course, I now have one, ano? The building itself was finished, but not the third floor. Because of the money I approved or I used for the flooring, it cost a lot of money. I could not even finish the toilets. But the architects were assuring me that with that kind of, with this kind of roofing or flooring, I don't have to be afraid even if there's an earthquake. And because our children, I thought it would be the safest. So without even asking their permission, I gave the money for that, which meant I could not finish the building.
I'm sure there will be other opportunities, ma'am, para ma-improve itong facility.
Yes. Yes, I hope so. The I'm not even requesting. I'm already thankful for what I have because I'm the only one who have something like this.
Thanks a lot po. Marami pong salamat din sa...
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I would like to read a very short piece entitled Sepang Loka from my book Sepang Loka and Others because the late critic Alfredo Navarro Salanga used to say that this piece should be read or should be printed as a preface to the play Sepang Loka. Sepang Loka. They found Sepang Loka slumped over the mouth of a mud well, dead. The townspeople who found her pulled her out and laid her on the grass, discovered to her child, its tiny mouth and nostril choked up with mud and sand inside the slimy green of the well. The townspeople who gathered that evening worked without talking much, the menfolk especially. Gently they fished the child out of the well, cradled it between Sepang Loka's breasts, as if it was the most natural thing in the world for them to do. And under the moonlight, the glistening naked body seemed to be as much part of the dead woman as were her muddied arms, legs, and quiet face. Sepang Loka's womb was the town's tragic container, really. It grew the town's child whole at the end of every 9 months' time. Only the slant of the eyes, the height of the nose, and the crop of hair giving away the identity of its father. And the town, in turn, held its breath for her until the first real life cries rose from the heart and Sepang Loka emerged, half-crawling from her bamboo door, dragged herself through the tangle of kugon and vines in order to bathe her body clean from the well. The man folk who smothered their lust in the Loka's womb betrayed himself at every life cry and unmasked their own tragedy and decay each time. The Loka half dragged herself from the hut to wash away from her body the body and sweat of childbirth. For with Sepa, all was instinct. She was surprisingly strong, the gift of the feeble of mind, and at the end of every 9 months' time, her mind ordered and quieted for the occasion, she undergoes childbirth alone, whimperless through fresh blood and labor pains. Then, like a mountain dog that licks its teeth clean for feeding, she half drags herself to the well for a bath. Lunacy would have numbed her against the rigors of social disgrace, as death at last spared her the humiliation of being stared at. It was the man folks who worked quietly that night, filling with a mind moved as the many evenings with Loka, who shuddered for themselves alone most of all. Between a number of our leaders and the manfolk of the town, there is not much difference. The first does as much choking up of its lust in the womb of the people as the other. With the manfolk of that time, desire is spent in one evening or two or three or four. Sepang Loka was a healthy woman, and the maternal instinct with her was very strong. With some of our leaders, desire feeds, and with the years, inurement by force and practice, year as strong as the other, and like the man folks to Sepang Loka, what matters if after 9 months there is a stillborn or a dwarf, as long as lust is satiated for the night? The hellishness of a madwoman in the hands of a sane man, 10 times mad than she, and the helplessness of the people in the hands of a cunning leader. Sepang Loka endured only the physical pain, as a people can suffer only hunger for their bodies and those of their children. The men folks must suffer the greater ache of mind and spirit, as the leaders must. They suffer a greater death if they are all capable of dying at the sight of a hungering people, as the men folk die the greater death while gazing at Sepang Loka as he lay unmoving on the grass under the moon, a naked child glistening between her breasts. Thank you.